All right, everyone, welcome back to Don't Touch My Sports. This is the only podcast that Aaron Hernandez did not kill before he went on a rampage. And yeah, we're still alive and well.
Good God.
I did not
know that was going to be said before we started this podcast. I'd like everyone to know that was all Jerry, not Ryan.
You're welcome. And yeah. I am the aforementioned Jerry. With my co-host Ryan.
Yes.
How you doing, buddy?
Good until you mentioned that. Good Lord.
Starting off with a heater.
Yeah, coming out strong. No, it's been good. It's been a good week. It's Friday. Don't say it again. I'm excited for the weekend. Unfortunately, there isn't any football this weekend. There's fake football. There's like a game that nobody cares about.
The players also don't care about it.
There's a game that still gets better ratings than the MLB. But it still doesn't matter.
Hey, it is.
I guess there is some football and it'll be something to talk about, but it's not, you know.
Yeah. But it also is NHL All-Star Weekend.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Which is going to be electric, by the way.
When's the NBA All-Star break? That's coming up, isn't it?
I think it's at the end of February, I want to say.
I gotcha.
Yeah. I don't know 100%. Don't quote me on that. Yeah, but I think NHL All-Star Game is awesome. Have you ever seen NHL, like the All-Star Game? Since they remodeled it?
Does it mean something? Like, I will say the one nice thing about the MLB is the All-Star Game actually means something, right? Or did they take that away? Is that taken away now? They used to determine who got home field in the World Series.
Yeah, I know they were talking about taking it away. I don't know if they actually did.
I don't know if they did either.
Who gives a fuck?
I will say, last podcast or maybe two podcasts ago, did we answer the question about why the Chiefs have home field advantage?
No, we did not.
Okay, the reason is because they alternate every year. So last year the NFC was the home team. This year the AFC is the home team.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did not know that with the NFL. It's not like it matters, though. I mean, it's at a neutral site anyways.
Well, it almost, you want to be the away team. You get to call it. I mean, not that the coin toss is really that big of a deal. But.
Yeah. But to answer your question, no, the NHL All-Star Game does not mean anything. But it's like a 3-on-3 tournament. They don't have full teams, so it gets pretty wild. All right, so in this episode, we are going to be talking about Zion's NBA debut. Looked a little chubby out there, but you know,
calling the guy out. What is wrong with you?
I was about to say something nice about him.
Well, you just called him fat.
Because he is. Did you see him on the court?
I mean, yeah. Dude's been out for like 40 freaking games, and you're gonna come in and call the mofo fat? That's not cool.
Yeah. Did you see him? Did you see the Instagram post on SportsCenter of him like falling asleep on the bench during the games?
Yeah. Let's just say he's well rested.
Yeah. And he looked like he played pretty well. In the second half, he played
pretty well.
What
else are we talking about?
We're talking about Antonio Brown and the new Aaron Hernandez documentary that Ryan has been watching. I have not seen any of it. You finished it?
I finished it today.
Congratulations.
What else we got on the docket?
We'll be talking about Eli Manning, not surprisingly, retiring from the NFL.
And whether or not he belongs in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting topic. And then maybe we'll get to some NBA midseason awards and predict who's going to be winning those awards.
Do we have a special guest today?
We do.
Who is it?
It's our good buddy, Jason Jones.
And what is he going to be talking about?
He's going to be talking about the draft coming up, the NFL draft with the Senior Bowl coming on tomorrow. And then we'll be doing a little bit of a Super Bowl preview. Not too much, though.
Interesting. So, a little background on Jason. He's, you know, one of our best friends from high school. Played football with him for several years. And if you watch the Chiefs-Titans game, there was a spin move done at the very end of that game that was very reminiscent of a one-on-one that him and I had, and I'm sure we'll go over that during the interview. So, anyway, moving on.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that. So Zion debuted against the Spurs. I think he had like two or four points in the first half. But in But in the second half, in the fourth quarter.
The fourth quarter, he went what, like?
He had 17 points in like 3 minutes.
He got 17 points straight for his team.
Yeah. Yep. And he went hit 4 threes in a row, was just knocking him down, I guess.
So what are your thoughts on that? Because I have my own opinions.
Well, from what I saw, it was kind of a situation where they were leaving Zion wide open because they wouldn't let him. They didn't think he could shoot. And clearly, he could shoot. Knocking four down in a row. I just mean with
the 4 points in the first half. What do you think that was about?
I think it was a little rust. He also came off the bench. I don't think he started the game, so maybe he got a little cold sitting on the bench.
He was also announced second.
What do you mean?
You know, they announced the home team. I'm pretty sure he started.
Did he start?
Yeah. And when you know, generally speaking, when your team is announced, you know, like the Chicago Bulls, the last person that they announce is Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
LeBron James is the last person announced. I mean, your best player should be announced last. He was announced second. That was just... It's almost like they were trying to, like... Understand that the only reason that the Pelicans were on, I think it was TNT last night, is because Zion Williamson,
yeah,
was playing.
Yeah.
Understand that people want to watch him, and the Pelicans need him to succeed. They're 17 and 28 right now.
Yep.
And that game meant nothing. There are several games outside of that eighth spot. I think 4 or 5 games outside of the eighth spot. They have a chance to make it back. But for his first game back against the San Antonio Spurs, you know, and there's other people saying this, but they should have pushed him to go out and try and score as many points as he could. I mean, not pushed him. Let me rephrase that. They should have. He looked like he was told, be careful out there. Be careful. Don't get hurt. And so he was in the first half. He wasn't even really going.
Yeah. And then I know he only played 18 minutes, but he was still 8 for 11 with 22 points. Like,
by the way, his over-under for points was like 13.5. He made a lot of people a lot of money last night.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were very nervous after that first half, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think that Zion is going to live up to the hype that is surrounding him right now? And let's say by the beginning of next year, do you think he'll make the All-Star team next year?
Will Zion make the All-Star team? Actually, probably. I mean, the guy is a monster. He's going to take the NBA by storm. He is a god amongst men out there in athleticism on the court. I mean, he's going to be the next LeBron James, I think. I'm a Zion fan. You know, I really think that he's on another level when you watch him. He's doing the same stuff. I mean, if you watched he's like the fourth highest scoring of all time in the preseason games or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you watched him going against other professional athletes, he's just balling, just like he did when he was jumping over kids in high school. I mean, the guy's a baller, so yeah, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah.
I think he'll be great. I think he'll be successful.
Yeah, I think. I don't know if I'd put him in. Here's my prediction for Zion. I think he's going to be great. I do think he is going to be outstanding, live up to the hype. I don't think by the end of his career, I don't think he's going to be in the talks with like LeBron and Michael and Kobe and Wilt and all of them, but I do think he's going to be a really solid player. He's going to be a star in the NBA, but I don't think he's going to be considered an all-time great by the end of his career.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. I have a feeling he's going to let the hype get to his head, and he's gonna like try to outperform himself, kind of try too hard, if that kind of makes sense. He's going to let it get to his head, and it's going to affect how he plays.
I understand where you're coming from, I suppose, but what have you seen that makes you believe that that's how he's going to be?
Yesterday, in the first half of the game, he's kind of listening to everybody around him, telling him not everybody around him, but his coaches and stuff, telling him, like, don't go too hard, like, we're saving your knee and stuff, and he's kind of listening to that. But in the second half, he did prove me wrong.
You know what?
Yeah.
I think I can control my own body.
Yeah.
let me go out and score some points here. Let me make some people some money here.
Yeah.
I think he goes, he's like, I put $1,000 on myself. I better go out and score some points.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying, though. I mean, we'll see. Time will tell. I'm a big Zion fan. I don't know why people.
I am too. I like Zion.
People have been crapping on him for a while. I don't understand it.
I don't know
like
why.
Like the Twitter. People are against him for some reason. I don't know. He's been nothing but.
The guy's a monster.
He's a monster athlete. Seems to be a pretty nice, cool guy when he's in front of a camera. Like he's not a flashy, flamboyant, you know, showboaty. He just seems very just.
Seems pretty down to earth. Knows what to do when he gets on the court and get the job done. And
I'm going to be honest, though. Stepping away from Zion specifically, I still haven't. like we were talking about before the podcast, I still don't feel like basketball season has started. I still feel like we're in football season. So I'll care more about that stuff in two weeks.
I guess basketball doesn't really start until it hits the playoffs. So
I wouldn't say that. I would say post-All-Star break is when real basketball starts, because then it's, you know, your teams that are on the back end of that 6-10 spot are really looking to get in.
Yeah.
And they actually start playing.
Do you feel that way for all sports outside of football? Like NHL, MLB?
Sports that have more than 20 games in a season, yeah. I mean.
Okay.
There's an endurance to it. I mean, I think part of it is part of the game plan. You know, you gotta go out, you gotta try and win some games, but, you know, you realize that there are gonna be games where you're gonna lose. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. In football, it's like every game is important.
Yeah.
Not so much with NHL, MLB, or basketball. I mean, they're important. It's important. But there are games you can be like.
It's like once you hit the All-Star break, you really got to ramp up.
That's when it's ramp up. I mean, and that's part of the strategy of the game. But don't expect people to start tuning in as much as they tune into things like football, where the stakes are high always. In these other sports, they're not always high, so why would I care? Outside of just liking the game, I suppose, and you just want to watch professional athletes play a professional sport.
And I feel like
there's no other aspect to it. Like there's no other driving factor behind the game. Yeah. It's like, oh, they need to win this game.
Yeah, and I feel like specifically with the NHL, the way the playoff seeding is set up. So for those who don't know, there's two divisions in each conference. So the top three teams from each division make the playoffs, and then there's two wildcard teams from each conference. So I feel like by the time the All-Star break comes around, like this weekend, there's minimum almost every team in every single division is vying for a playoff spot.
Yeah.
If not vying for a higher seed to get into the top three teams in your division, so you don't have to play one of the top two seeds, you know?
How many games are in an NHL season?
82. Same as basketball. Yep. And you get 2 points for a win, 1 point for an overtime loss or shootout loss.
And 0 points for a loss.
But the weird thing with the NHL, the tiebreaker for points is not total wins. It's only regulation and overtime wins. Doesn't count shootout wins, if that kind of makes sense. I don't know why that is, and that's I don't like that rule. Yeah, I've never liked that.
But it counts as a win in the win column, though.
But
if it's between you and somebody else, that's the first thing they go to is
regulation and overtime wins.
Interesting.
Yeah. But you still get, if you win the shootout, you still get the extra point.
Like, you get the extra point, so it matters. But
yeah,
if you're tied with somebody else, then you better hope you have less. You better hope that less of your points came from the shootouts.
Right. Right.
I will say it's funny how. The discrepancy between first and last in hockey is very different than the discrepancy between the first and last in basketball.
Yeah.
Like, the record for the last place in hockey is nowhere near as bad as the record for the last place in basketball. Am I right? Or am I wrong?
Okay, so the way I look at it is the NBA usually has two or three teams at the bottom of, like, each conference that are awful.
Trash.
The NHL has like one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then everybody else, like I said, is vying for a playoff spot or like just on the bubble.
Okay.
Of it. Yeah. But you're right. The discrepancy. Like, you can watch, like, for instance, the Red Wings and the Penguins. The other day they just played. Red Wings are last in the West or Eastern Conference, and Pittsburgh's like fourth or fifth, like that. Yeah. Oh, okay. And they just played the other day, and they went into overtime. Like, that's, you can go into any game, and any team can win any game. Doesn't matter how bad you are, how good you are.
I mean, basketball, you know, any team can technically win. I mean, the Cavs do have some wins this year, but it's not like hockey.
Very few.
It's not like hockey.
Yeah, and you kind of see that when you go into looking at the Vegas odds. Like, I was looking last week, and the Knicks and the Bucks played.
How do you bet on a hockey game, though?
So, let me explain. But first, the Bucks and the Knicks were playing like last week or 2 weeks ago, and the Knicks were plus 900, and the Bucks were minus 1600 on the money line. So that's how much of a favorite they were. They were like a 17-point favorite. In hockey, that Penguins Red Wings game, the Red Wings were plus like 200, and the Penguins were minus 180. Like, that's how close the betting is in hockey. And how?
Yeah, so never bet on hockey.
Yeah, it's like impossible.
Well, yeah, it's because it's because they only score, you know.
Yeah, there's usually about
1 to 6 goals a game.
Yeah, 5 or 6 goals a game. I'd say that's pretty good average. It's tough to bet on most.
How do you bet on something so low scoring? You know, you can't.
It's like impossible. Yeah,
I feel like basketball. I feel like football is what people bet on the most.
Yeah,
I feel like basketball is the easiest to bet. Like, if you were to just pick, you could probably be like, I feel like personally, looking at, you know, who's on each team, I feel like I could probably bet on basketball the best. I feel like I would have the best success rate betting on basketball versus football. I don't know why I feel like that. I think football is a slightly lower scoring. Not slightly. Significantly lower scoring. It's also, you know, one or two players in basketball, you can be like, those two people will make sure that I make my money.
Yeah.
In football, you know, let's say, it's much more team oriented, so you kind of don't know. Depends.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
With basketball, you can kind of tell who's going to win a game based off of who's playing.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. betting on sports is just, you know, it's always
something that I'm about to start hopefully getting into soon once it's legal in the state in which I currently reside. But it is not.
Yeah. Well, we're going to move on here. We're going to talk about Antonio Brown had a warrant issued out for his arrest yesterday or the day before, and he turned himself in today. He was granted bail. What did you say that he did? We were talking about it before the podcast.
I'm pretty sure he threw a rock at someone.
Was it battery? Is that what it was?
I think it was excessive rock throwing.
But also, Odell Beckham was also had a warrant issued out for his arrest, but
that was retracted.
Yeah, that was retracted. The officer said he did not want to press charges. So, why are these players so dumb?
I don't know. This says a Hollywood police statement said a Brown's arrest warrant included charges of burglary with battery, burglary of an unoccupied conveyance and criminal mischief. I thought he just threw a rock at someone. Maybe that's a different crime.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Well, he didn't videotape this one, so.
I don't know. But what was your question? Why are people so dumb?
Why are these players so dumb? Why do they... Do you think it's an ego problem? Do you think
it's... Oh, absolutely. It's a, oh, I can do what I want because I'm this individual. You know, I play this sport. I make all this money, and you get used to being able to get away with stuff. So you just do what you want. Antonio Brown also, he's got some, you know, he's got some issues.
He's got some screws loose.
I was gonna say that. That was a little bit insensitive of a way to put it. He's got some mental health issues that he needs to address, and I hope he does because he was one of the most electric. Shall I say, he used to be a dog.
Used to be.
Not so much these days. Yeah. He won me many fantasy football leagues. Let's just say that.
Yeah, he was
always my, he was
that in, team with him, Ben Roethlisberger, and Le'Veon Bell. I don't know how they didn't win a Super Bowl.
Unstoppable. Yeah, I don't know either. But I will tell you this: in that league that we started several years ago, Antonio Brown was my first pick. And then we got to do, what was it called when you
keep someone? I think it was just called a keeper.
A keeper. Yeah, he was my keeper for several years. And so shout out to AB for winning me two fantasy football leagues. But on a real note, and not to be funny anymore, yeah, he does need to get some help. You know, you saw his agent dropped him the other day. And because basically I think it was like a, hey, dude.
Like,
dude,
wake the hell up.
Get some help.
Yeah. Stop.
Stop. Get some help. We're basically Michael Jordan over here.
Yeah.
But that leads me into the next topic, which is speaking about football players with mental health issues. Aaron Hernandez, the documentary just dropped on Netflix. Highly recommend. It takes about 3 hours of your time. It is eye-opening. I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what's going on. Like, Aaron Hernandez grew up in this rough gang neighborhood, and he joined a bunch. He was a gang member, blah, blah, blah. That is not the case at all. He grew up in a nice town in Connecticut. He had a mother and father in the household. He had an older brother. Now, his father was prone to some alcoholic behaviors as well as some physical abuse. And then his dad died in a routine hernia surgery when he was 16.
Oh, wow. Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then his mom started banging his cousin's husband. So... I think there was... So then he started going and hanging out with that cousin. Or maybe it was... But basically, it was another family member's husband, and it was an affair, and he felt... Like, this is, like, weeks after his dad died. A couple months. So, like, imagine being 16, 17 years old, seeing that your basically cousin-in-law is having sex with your mom... And staying over and having a relationship with her, you know, how much anger that would cause. Not, by the way, this is not a excuse at all for any of the actions that Aaron Hernandez
disclaimer.
Committed. Disclaimer. I'm just giving you kind of a rundown of what the documentary goes through. And
spoiler alert.
Yeah, I forgot to put spoilers at the beginning. We'll put that on the tag for the video. but no, it goes through that sort of stuff. It goes through the double life that he lived. Like, the people in the Patriots, they knew him as a hardworking guy. He came to practice all the time. I guess he was a big pothead. Like, he was pretty much high 24/7.
I did hear that. Like, he would smoke before games and stuff like that.
In practice. Yeah. And he was a habitual smoker.
Yeah.
And... If all reports are to be believed, he's murdered 3 different people and shot a 4th dude in the face. If you don't believe, because he was technically acquitted of the second, during the second trial, because he got this really good defense attorney. If you stick to what he's actually currently convicted of, he's only convicted of a single first degree murder of his fiance, well, I guess now he's dead, but his former fiance's sister's boyfriend.
Wasn't there in the documentary, wasn't there some speculation and rumor of him being like bisexual or gay?
I guess he had sexual relations with the quarterback of his high school team, and the quarterback was on the He's on the documentary talking
really?
About it.
Yeah. Really? Wow.
They said that he was gay, and then that, you know, he used his wife and his kid as a cover. I don't necessarily... I mean, he clearly had some sort of sexual relations with another guy when he was in high school. I don't know if that necessarily means that he was gay. I think it could have just been... you know, you just you get close with the guy, whatever. I don't know. I mean, I personally have
maybe like experimenting, sort of way, or,
but you're experimenting.
Yeah.
You have emotional attachments, feelings, whatever. You know, that doesn't mean that he didn't love his wife and kid, you know, when he was with them. But I think it's more of the dude was just a sociopath. And because he murdered a dude and then played an entire season of football.
And that's crazy.
Like he, wow. Like it was no problem. And supposedly murdered two other people. And I mean, I think he just had a detachment from the actions that he was committing. Now, when they did a scan of his brain, they took it and they basically, he had one of the worst CTE, that's what it's called, right?
Yep.
CTE.
I don't know the scientific name, but I know the acronym is CTE.
Yeah, one of the worst CTE brains ever taken. Like, really? Basically, he'd had CTE for like 10 years.
Wow.
Almost. So they said that he basically was suffering from dementia at the end of it. Like, he just was out of it. It was terrible.
And how old was he when he committed suicide?
27. And he had been in prison for 3 years. When he committed suicide, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, he was coached by two of the greatest coaches of all time, and Urban Meyer from Florida, and Bill Belichick at the Patriots. You know, so you can't. It had to be something outside of that.
I mean, yeah.
These people.
Yeah.
You know, and there's speculation on whether this behavior was caused by CTE or whether it was caused because he was a closet homophobe and he was living with that his whole life. You know, and people are on whatever side. Personally, I think he just was a sociopath. He just, some people just have that sort of detachment from, situations and think that they can just do what they want. And that's just how they are, you know.
Yeah, I personally, I have not seen the documentary yet.
You have to watch it. Very good documentary.
Yeah, I definitely will. Yeah.
Well done. I really think they did a good job of trying to show you that there's a bunch of different avenues that could have caused this sort of stuff from happening. And they do also a really good job, before you speak, sorry, they do a really good job of explaining the victims of the crime too. Like, they don't focus 100% on Aaron Hernandez. They focus it on the families of the victims and the victims themselves, what they were going through. One of them was a semi-professional football player that was the boyfriend of the fiance's sister. Yeah. And then the other two were Puerto Rican immigrants that were just at a nightclub and spilled a drink on him, and he went and shot them and killed them. Allegedly, he was actually acquitted of that crime. So, but that, anyway.
Yeah.
So they do a very good job of explaining the victims, explaining the situation, as well as Aaron Hernandez and his story himself. Go ahead.
Well, I was just, like I said, I was just putting the disclaimer that I have not seen this, and I'm kind of drawing a conclusion before watching it.
From what I'm saying, or from what you've already thought?
Yeah, well, just from what you're saying, I was just gonna say that you think he's a sociopath. He's just like, that was the main cause. I personally think it's probably just a mix of everything in his life.
Probably a good,
you know, he probably in the way he was raised didn't help, the environment he was put in, having CTE on top of that. It's probably just like a mix of everything that led to him killing that guy and allegedly killing others, and then kind of just the way he acted and
everything. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah. Well, tragic story.
At least you didn't screw an ostrich, right? Allegedly. You guys get ready for more pop culture references, because
if you have not seen Letterkenny, go watch it.
Go watch it now.
Watch.
Have not been we have not been endorsed by Letterkenny to say this, but maybe we will someday. But excellent show, hilarious to watch. And yeah, one of watch the Letter- people allegedly screws an ostrich.
Watch Letterkenny and then watch the Aaron Hernandez documentary.
Aaron Hernandez documentary first, because it'll take you less time to get through all of that than it will to get through all Letterkenny.
How many episodes is the documentary? And three. What platform is it on?
Netflix, 3 episodes, hour long each.
Okay.
And it leaves you on a cliffhanger for the first two, so you're gonna watch all three in one sitting probably. But great, great video.
Is there a second season?
There's not a second season. But I think that's enough about the Aaron Hernandez story. What, moving on, what else we got?
So we got...
Is Eli up next?
Eli is up next. He officially announced his retirement
today.
Thank
God.
Yeah. No more Mannings in the NFL for a while.
Until their nephew, right?
Yeah.
The oldest brother's son.
He's like
breaking all their high school records.
No, I think he's like a freshman in high school right now.
And he's breaking their records.
Shit. But yeah, no more Mannings in the NFL for a while. Eli Manning
first
announcing...
First time since 1997.
Eli Manning announcing his retirement from the Giants, defeated the Patriots twice in the Super Bowl. Thank God.
Yeah, otherwise Brady would have 8 Super Bowl rings right now.
Yep. Yeah, but Manning always comes through for the boys.
Shut up. I hate Eli Manning. No. I don't. I actually like Eli
Manning. Eli Manning, he had a great career.
He went 117 and 117.
Really?
That was his final record. 117 and 117.
Wow. Well, that leads me to my next point. When he was playing in the NFL, I never thought of him as a top 5 quarterback in the league. I never thought he was considered one of the elites. I always thought he was good. Always thought he was solid. Clearly got to the Super Bowl, won 2 rings, but I never thought he was like on the level of his brother or Tom Brady or Favre or anybody like that.
I'd agree. He's not even a top 20 quarterback of all time.
Oh, no.
But that's not the question. The question is does he belong in the Hall of Fame?
Yep, sure does.
And I think the answer is yes. And I think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's got more wins than Terry Bradshaw. He has more wins than Joe Namath. He has a better win percentage than Joe Namath. And I believe... Don't quote me on that one, but he definitely has a better touchdown interception ratio than Joe Namath.
And one more ring, right?
And one more ring.
Yeah, Namath's
in there because he had one awesome Super Bowl run.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Not to discredit him, that was great, but if that's what we're looking at, I mean, and Eli played against some of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He beat the best quarterback twice.
One of them was an undefeated season, by the way.
In the Super Bowl. So, if that's what we're looking at, guy definitely belongs in the Hall of Fame. He was a great quarterback. He wasn't an amazing... He wasn't a game-changing, a game-defying, it wasn't like a, oh my goodness, can you believe Eli Manning? It was just, he was consistent. He was a good quarterback. He came in, he won games. He was a good leader. And also the stuff, his teammates loved him. He never had any issues. You know, he just was a good dude.
Yeah.
Played good football.
Yeah. I lump him into the same category as, like, Tony Romo, Carson Palmer, Kurt Warner. Quarterbacks like that who were very good.
Game managers.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The definition of a game manager.
It's like a backhanded compliment, though.
Yeah.
You're a game manager.
Yeah. And I think a quarterback who's going to be in that conversation, same group, Jimmy Garoppolo. I think he's going to be in that same group of people.
Probably.
He plays very
it's
similar.
It's going to suck, though, after he loses the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We'll talk about that later. But... Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. Jimmy Garoppolo has like the 5th best QBR right now. He's like 26 and like 5 or something.
Yeah, he's also in a great system right now. And he has a great defense.
Yes.
And a great coach.
Yes. He's got all these great things, but Kyle Shanahan was like 3-20 mm-hmm. or something like that without
Jimmy G. Not trying to discredit
now
Jimmy G at all.
Yeah. So I'm
just
saying
he's still pretty good.
Very good.
Wouldn't consider him elite, though, or game-changing quarterback.
I would agree, currently. We'll see.
Yeah. But yeah, I
think about this. Bill Belichick wanted him over Tom Brady.
That says something then.
I mean, is that, I mean, maybe Bill Belichick's, you know, lost his marbles or something, but I don't think he has. I think Jimmy G is going to show us in the next three. I think we're all going to be looking back on this year and the year before and even this era, or not era, but this time, and going, we were so wrong about Jimmy Garoppolo. The dude's a beast.
Yeah. You,
but we'll see. We'll
he
see.
Very well could. I mean, he will he lose could prove the all Super of us Bowl, wrong.
But other than that, I hope he wins many more.
You really think the Chiefs are going to win?
I really do.
All right.
I don't think they're stopped. I don't think you can stop them. I don't care if you do got 31-year-old Richard Sherman back there. No one is stopping Patty Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the boys.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll have a whole episode dedicated to previewing the Super Bowl
next week. We sure will.
We'll talk about it more. But in other retirement news, this happened a little bit ago. We forgot to touch on it. Luke Kuechly surprisingly retiring from the NFL.
Yeah, I was
caught way off guard by that. And
I was caught off guard too. But do you remember? Did you listen to why he did?
Mm-hmm. I did.
Like, he felt like he couldn't compete at the same level he was competing. Yeah. So it's an interesting way. You know, which is
interesting because I feel like on the field he was doing just fine.
He was named All Pro this year.
Yeah. He's captain of the team. Like,
yeah, I really think Matt Rhule was hoping he was staying.
Oh, man, what a shot to the gut for him. Yeah,
so he was a very talented, physical, fast middle linebacker for the Carolina Panthers. This is like four-time All-Pro or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Very,
he,
I mean.
And he was only, I believe he was like 27. He was only 27. Oh, my God. Man.
27 years old. He was five years in the league. 27 or 28, somewhere in that area. Very good player, but I think he just felt that he couldn't compete at that same level anymore. And, you know, part of me goes, that's unfortunate, but, you know, better to go out on top as someone who was just named All-Pro than to be, you know, everyone always lasts 1 year too long. All the greats, they always last 1 year too long because, you know, I mean, look at my favorite player of all time. Look at my favorite player of all time, right? Brett Favre. You know, he made it to the NFC Championship game through a crappy interception, you know, but had one of his best seasons ever that year. Probably should have won MVP. I don't think he did, though. I think he was snuffed, honestly, but probably should have won MVP. Amazing year for the Vikings and Brett Favre. Ends up, you know, They didn't make it to the Super Bowl. They didn't win a Super Bowl. New Orleans beat them in the NFC Championship game. New Orleans ended up going on to win the Super Bowl. Then the next year, the Vikings tanked. He had one of his worst seasons he's ever had. It's hard to do, but, you know, at that time, he was 41, 42 years old, needed to retire, didn't retire. So while it is unfortunate from a public's perspective to see someone at the age of 28 years old hanging up the cleats, I can respect it because it's like, you know what, I know that from here on out I'm gonna start getting worse and worse, you know, with the injuries that could happen that could be life altering. You know, he's made a good amount of money. Now he can go on and do whatever he wants with the rest of his life. He has the rest of his life to do what he wants. So I mean, it's sad as a viewer of a sport watching someone that played at a high level stop playing, but I can respect the fact that that's something that he wanted to do.
Yeah. The MVP that year was Tom Brady.
That's right.
Yep.
Which, understandable, but he didn't even make it to the Super Bowl that year.
Sorry. The year that Favre retired was Tom Brady. The year he made it to the NFC Championship game was Peyton.
He did make it to the Super Bowl.
Yes, he did.
And lost.
Yes, he did. You're right. Yep.
To the New Orleans Saints.
Yes, he did. Yep. Brees got his only Super Bowl then. See if he gets another one. So I think the jury's still out on whether Brees comes back or not. I don't think that's locked in.
By the way, how many Super Bowls does Peyton have? Two?
Two.
One with the Colts, one with the Broncos?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Jerry and I were watching that old video of Peyton Manning. That skit he did about the Falcons playing against the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Funniest video I've ever seen Peyton do.
Peyton,
oh my goodness.
Peyton Manning is my favorite athlete to watch in any skit ever. He is hilarious.
Dude has... Remember when he hosted the ESPYs and just just roasting Kevin people? Durant. The Kevin Durant roast is still one of the funniest things. They pan to Russell Westbrook.
That's what makes it great. Like when they pan to KD and then pan to Russell Westbrook and the looks on their face. Oh, man.
Yeah, KD was like, screw you guys. And Russell Westbrook, who, by the way, if there's, I mean, I don't know if how you can be in the sports world and not know about that, but that was the year that Kevin Durant went to the Golden State Warriors after leaving Russell Westbrook at OKC, Oklahoma City. And Russell Westbrook, there was some bad blood there. And yeah, Russell Westbrook was dying laughing at the ESPY. Well, I mean, you could tell he thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. And you can just tell by the look on his face. Yeah,
and Kevin Durant was having none of it, which was hilarious. But anyway. Yeah,
it was great. And then the skit where Peyton Manning is
beaming
the ball at kids. Oh, that one's my all-time favorite.
You know, in that skit, he checks. He says, okay, this goes back to, I want to say it was Joe Montana back in one of the earlier Super Bowls. He checked to this play and scored a touchdown off of it.
Okay.
And then in Brett Favre's winning Super Bowl in the late 90s, 95.
Yeah, it was 95 because Denver won it in 96.
Yeah.
And 97. Woo-woo.
In 1995, he checked to the exact same play that Joe Montana checked to in a previous Super Bowl on his first touchdown pass.
Really?
Yeah. And in that skit, he checks, he makes the same check and then drills that kid in the back with the football. It's so funny. It is so funny.
Yeah. If you have some time on your hands, go watch Peyton Manning skits for commercials or SNL.
SNL. Well, the one where he's beaming kids with the ball is an SNL skit.
Okay, that's what I thought, yeah. Yeah. If you have time, go look those up. They're fucking hilarious. Yeah. Would recommend watching those.
What's next?
So now we're going to turn to our friend Jason Jones. We're going to do an interview with him and a word from our sponsor. All right, we're here with our good friend Jason Jones on the Don't Touch My Sports podcast. How you doing today, Jason?
Good. How are you guys?
We're good, man. We're good.
Can't complain. Yeah. It's Friday.
Oh, yeah.
We are we are in for a good weekend here with the Pro Bowl. I mean, I don't think it's a real weekend of sports. Jerry does not concur, but that's all right.
it's like a half weekend.
Right.
It's like a half weekend. Yeah. It's just like we're in that lull before the Super Bowl, so trying to get hyped up for it, and you got the shitty Pro Bowl, so.
Right. I've never been a fan of the Pro Bowl, to be honest with you. The players never play. They're never in positions or anything. Like, it's not really fun, too fun to watch. But
I'm with you on that one, Jason. You and I are on the same boat. I think that, and I heard Pat McAfee talk about this, but they should just change it to a skills competition, just a total skills competition. No more game, you know, because it's not like people are trying anyway. They don't want to get hurt. They don't want to, you know, who cares?
Yeah.
And so also, the best players aren't even playing in it. So like,
exactly.
Yeah. And why is the Pro Bowl the week before the Super Bowl? Makes no sense at all. I don't get that.
I think it should be after. I agree with you.
I don't know. I kind of like it as a little. But, I don't mind it being the week before.
Okay, but you're Patty Mahomes isn't playing in the Pro Bowl. Exactly. The best quarterback in the league is not playing in the Pro Bowl.
Because
makes no
he's
fucking
playing
sense.
In the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
I think it's a good idea to have it the week before to give one, the two Super Bowl teams time to rest, and two, give people a reason to watch. But let's make it something more entertaining than a half-ass game that nobody cares about.
All right. Well, Jason, I know you wanted to talk about the NFL draft a little bit.
Yes, sir.
So what do you want to talk about with that?
Well, this weekend, the Senior Bowl's this weekend, so I would like to dive into that a little bit, of some of the players, some of the guys, some of my butt guys.
All right.
I don't know, maybe talk to you guys about some of your teams, maybe what positions you guys are looking into. I don't know. The Brownies and their offensive tackles. There's been a couple offensive tackles that have shown that they have some skills to play.
All right. I know that the Browns definitely need some tackles, need some help up front.
They have an awful offensive line, and it definitely showed this year. So, I mean, this draft, though, correct me if I'm wrong, this is a wide receiver-heavy draft.
It is the best wide receiver draft of all time.
Yeah.
So, really?
You have Alabama's wide receivers, two of them. There could have been four of them, but two of them decided to stay. LSU has Justin Jefferson, who showed he's top tier.
Mm-hmm. Clemson has T. Higgins.
T. Higgins is on another level.
Is Chase from LSU coming out this year, or is he there another year?
No, he's a freshman.
Fuck.
He is a freshman.
Damn, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's crazy to think about. That's like Justin Ross when he was a freshman.
Yeah, that's
the wide receiver. Yeah.
Just to give context, so who does he play for?
Justin Ross.
Yeah.
Clemson.
Clemson. Yeah. There you go. I mean, I think we all knew that, what I want to keep doing, I think what we failed to do the last couple podcasts, and we were talking about this on our show, but before we called you in, but we're saying people's names and we're not giving context to what team they're on.
Yeah.
And I don't want
or like what position they play and stuff like
so
that.
Yeah. So I want to make sure. Whoever's listening, whether they're a football fan or not, at least knows generally what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Right. Gotcha. Yep. So, yeah, I would say it's a heavy wide receiver class, but there's also a bunch of offensive tackles that are looking to be good first-round draft picks this year, too.
What about on the defensive side of the ball? I know we got Chase Young coming out this year, but what else we got up at?
I would say the defensive side is lacking comparing. You got cornerbacks, pretty deep class there. There's top tier talent at defensive end, but it's not real deep class, you know?
Well, and compare it to the last few years, the last three years have been very defensive heavy.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
And this is the first year in the last few that has been more of that skill position on offense heavy. Now, something I want to ask you about, but actually let's take a step back. So, well, do you want to go into this Senior Bowl and talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we can.
For our audience who doesn't know what that is, will you tell us a little bit about what the Senior Bowl is and what to expect?
So the Senior Bowl is in Mobile, Alabama. There's basically just they invite, I want to say, maybe 100 guys out that are seniors, and it's their chance to stand in front of every NFL scout, a lot of the coaches. Basically, what happens is the last two teams in the NFL, so this year's the Bengals and the Lions, they become the coaches of the North or the South.
Oh.
I actually didn't know that part.
I didn't know that either.
Yep, they get to coach the seniors, and sometimes you get your third-year junior, redshirted juniors, and they get to just play out in front of those scouts and get a chance to earn a better draft status, basically.
Gotcha. So it's just an additional maybe measure to try and improve their draft stock on top of it's like that, and then the combine, and then
pro days and
days. Yeah. Yeah. So
it's really good. It's really good for like seniors that don't have the production, but because they're playing for Ohio State, Alabama, right?
Right.
And they don't get to play as much, but Terry McLaurin, you see those guys, they shine in the NFL because
exactly. Yeah.
So okay, so this may be a dumb question, but
it
I'm gonna ask it anyway. So I know it's called the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
Is it seniors only, or is it anybody that has declared for the draft?
He just said that sometimes juniors play. Did you not?
No, I didn't hear that.
You have to be in the NCAA for 4 years.
Okay.
I feel bad now for dogging on you.
No, you're not. It's not a super question. That's what I said. But yeah, redshirted juniors are allowed to play.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. So let's just go through kind of preliminary first round thoughts.
Is there any chance Joe Burrow does either not go number one or does go number one, but Cincinnati trades that first pick?
Okay. I want to give you my absolute, like, it's probably not true, but, like, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking it. Why in the hell is Joe Burrow not at the Senior Bowl? He would be coached by his future team.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because he doesn't want to get injured. His draft stock's already number one.
Okay, why would you have to play, just... but you have to show up there. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You know, if you talk
to someone, Big Dick Joe be doing what he wants.
I agree. Listen, I'm not saying it's probable. It's possible that he's not. Because, A, you have Chase Young. Who wants a quarterback? You have the Washington Redskins. What's so bad about
you don't think the Redskins will stick with Haskins?
I'm not saying I don't. It's possible. It's possible. Now,
the front office likes Haskins, though, don't they? I was always under the impression that while the coaching staff wasn't the biggest fan of Haskins, the front office really liked him.
But the new offensive coordinator, I don't know if that's his type of guy.
Gotcha.
I don't know.
Gotcha. If that's his type of guy. He is coming in with a new head coach too. So we'll see how that affects it.
No, Turner said he had no issues with Haskins. He had Haskins graded as a number one, but he's a defensive guy. He doesn't run the offense. So if your offensive coordinator gets there and's like, he's not my type of team. Joe Burrow is that guy. Let's go get him as possible. But if you're the Cincinnati Bengals and you're like, all right, give me your first round draft pick, Haskins, and the second next year.
Oh,
you got Haskins and Chase Young. Is that bad of a trade? How bad of a trade is that? Like,
I guess it depends on how much what you think of Joe Burrow and how effective he's gonna be.
Right.
But
I think there's another team that can, or not a single other team. I think there's maybe a couple of other teams that can offer a few decent packages. The Panthers offer two first round draft picks and Cam Newton for Joe Burrow. I could see Matt Rule doing that. I don't know what the Chargers really could give them, but they need a quarterback.
They have Philip Rivers.
It's deteriorating. Finally, one of these quarterbacks that we've talked about so highly of, they're finally showing some
falling apart.
Oh yeah,
falling apart.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Yep. There's also
Miami. Consecutive starts for any quarterback. I think Miami wants Tua though. I'm not gonna lie. I feel like they want Tua Tagovailoa. Is it Tua Tagovailoa or just Tagovailoa?
It's just Tua.
Right.
Okay, so let's assume, so we got a couple speculations for Joe Burrow, but let's assume that he's going to go number one as everything's, panning out right now. Chase Young goes number two. Who's number three? Are we doing a wide receiver? Is Akuda up at that number three spot? I know he's projected top 10. Who's that third spot?
It's Akuda.
You think Akuda?
It's to the line.
Two Ohio State back to back in the first, really three Ohio State players, the first three of the draft.
Yeah.
Draft a Buckeye.
Yeah.
And nobody had an issue. Draymond Jones, player of the week, I believe, for you. Draft a Buckeye. But I think Akuda goes in that third slot because the Lions need edge pressure, but Chase Young's not there. So you go and help your defensive backfield out and get Akuda. And he's Jalen Ramsey all over again. Locks anybody down. Tackles.
His arms are so long.
Oh,
yeah.
My
goodness. And he's fast. I bet he runs a 4.3 something. Probably high. Probably 4.3 high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Who do you think is the first receiver off the board? Who do you think is the best receiver in this class? And where do you think he goes? Do you think it's four? Because Miami's five, right?
Yep.
So four
is four? Is it New York?
Yes.
Yes, correct.
Yes.
Yeah. Wait, Giants or Jets? It's Giants.
Giants.
Right? Yeah.
Giants, yeah.
Because I know the Jets are pretty low, too.
If I'm the Giants, I don't draft a wide receiver. I get a tackle. You have to focus on your young players. Your best option is to run the football so you can easily throw. So you need better blockers. And there's plenty of tackles, like I said. I think I'm going to go with a sleeper guy here. If you haven't seen this guy, look him up. Ryan, you would literally bust a load. This Louisville offensive tackle, I believe his name is Micah Becton. Hard to spell. I couldn't even spell it for you, but Louisville. And this man is 6'7", 320, full power, full explosion, everything. I barely.
Where's he playing? Where's he playing?
Louisville. Mm. And he's a monster.
I haven't either.
Yeah. A lot of people talked about the Thompson kid out of Georgia, but I'm thinking Michael Becton. I think he sneaks up.
Is he where is he projected to go?
Late first rounder guy. I think after the combine and everything, I think he sneaks up in that top first round.
Is he is he playing tomorrow in the Super Bowl or Super Bowl Senior Bowl?
No, he's not. He's a junior. He's a true junior.
Gotcha.
So back to my question, who do you think's the first receiver off the board and where do you think they go?
I'm going either Jerry Jeudy, who's the Alabama wide receiver.
Yep. One of them.
Or CeeDee Lamb to yours truly, the Jacksonville Jaguars at 9.
Mm.
9, is that what you said?
Correct.
Also, really? You think the first receiver doesn't come off till the 9th pick?
I think there's so many of them that they end up getting pushed back because it's like, oh, I can wait. Especially after last year, DK Metcalf got drafted at the end of the second round.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nuts.
Yeah.
What a pick that
was. Yeah,
well,
his three-cone drill is slower than Tom Brady's. So
he ran a 4.33. What does it matter?
I'm pretty sure the guy has like a 16 pack.
Did you see pictures of Tom Brady? We mentioned this on the podcast before, but pictures of Tom Brady at his combine. That guy ran the same three-cone drill as DK Metcalf. All right. DK.
Okay, but, like, DK. Doesn't matter if you run a 4.33. That's true. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Tom Brady ran, like, a 5.5 or something. Like, you know, we're laughing at the GOAT.
Yeah.
He looks so slow.
No. Okay, question. Who's the first running back off the board?
It's got to be Dobbins. It has to be.
Before Jonathan Taylor?
Dude, it has to be.
I think it's Dobbins. He's got.
Everyone's been saying that. Everyone's been saying, I have heard Dobbins to Kansas City. End of the first round.
Fuck. For those who don't know, J.K. Dobbins was a running back at Ohio State and Jonathan Taylor was a running back at Wisconsin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Thank you. And definitely the two best running backs in the league this year.
And with ETN staying at Clemson. For sure, two best running backs in the draft.
Oh, yeah.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, is he declaring?
Yeah, he declared. He's projected around 4th or 5th.
Yeah.
So, other than those two, I would say it's DeAndre Swift out of Florida State. And who am I missing? Eno Benjamin out of Arizona.
Hmm.
And Arizona State, sorry. And those are the two other guys that are probably end of the second round, maybe beginning of the third. But I think the best is going to be Dobbins. ETN didn't declare, like you said, Jerry. And that guy, if he ran a 40, it would surprise a lot of people. Also, his 10-yard, it would probably be unreal.
I can't wait to see Edwards-Helaire's three-cone drill.
Oh, yeah. That dude is the most elusive player.
He can cut on a dime running full speed, man.
Yeah, he is.
That's also a thing Dobbins is really good at. His juice. Yeah.
Dobbins has like the 1-2 cut. Dobbins reminds me a lot of Ezekiel Elliott when Zeke was at Ohio State, where it's one or two cuts and then it's downhill fast.
Yeah.
And the thing about Dobbins, though, dude squats over 600 pounds. His arms are huge. And he's like if you watch that stiff arm, the one that sticks out to me is the one in Wisconsin. He's running off the right tackle play.
Oh, yeah.
The left arm, stiff arm, barrels, dude.
Yep.
And this was the best linebacker on Wisconsin and one of the, all Big Ten, one of the best linebackers in the Big Ten on his back off of a left arm, stiff arm. That's the kind of player he is. Can you imagine him at a team? Because you know he's going to drop late first round. So even if it's not Kansas City, what if it's San Francisco? Or what if it's –
San Francisco won't take a running
they
back.
They won't. You're right. They have
the largest stable of running backs I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's say he drops to, maybe Green Bay picks him up or – there's just a lot of options in that.
New England?
New England? I don't want to go to New England because New England's going to tank for Trevor.
Okay, so tank for 1 year and then get Trevor Lawrence as your quarterback?
And then have J.K.
And have J.K. Dobbins?
Listen, stop telling people about that tank and stuff. The Jacksonville Jaguars going to be doing that.
Yes.
All right.
We got
all right.
Michigania for 2 years, and then we tank.
All right. So since you brought it up, I gotta ask, what the hell is going down down in Jacksonville?
God, man? I don't know. I've never seen a team go from 1 year almost making the championship, literally one play, a fumble return, to trash, absolute garbage. And it's from the top. It's all the way from the top. We had Tom Coughlin, who had his run in the NFL. He's a great guy, really smart, but he's too old school right now. He's way too old school. And we fired him. Usually when you fire your guy that's controlling everything, we fired our GM too. We fired a VP. You fire your coach, right? You get a new coach in there for the new GM for the – no.
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 Psych.
Say psych right now.
Please say psych. Please say psych. No. There were so many great coaches out there to grab. And we don't fire the guy that's been dragging this team 10 steps down. Completely ruined relationships with Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
And we don't re-sign these players. We don't re-sign our players.
Hey, Minshew Mania, though.
Yeah, but, hey, fear the beard.
Just kidding.
Fear the beard.
Dude, they didn't even start him. They started Nick Foles.
But to be fair. Nick Foles, I mean,
no, he's
you have to start him when he's available and he's not injured.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to switch. Well, we're going to move on here because we're coming up here on the end. But I want to talk about preliminary Super Bowl. Before we get to that, though, one of the teams in the Super Bowl is the Kansas City Chiefs, as you know. And they just beat the Tennessee Titans in the AFC Championship game, as you know. Now, there was a play at the end of that Kansas City game that looked awfully reminiscent, didn't it, Jason?
Yes. Yes.
Why don't you walk us through that play?
Okay.
And why that seemed so reminiscent.
But a defensive end took two steps out of his stance. He hits him with a spin inside. And fakes it back out.
But wait, it's a fake spin.
But it was the fake spin, and he came back outside and runs straight to the quarterback. All I'm saying is, Ryan, my dear friend Ryan, when we did one-on-ones in high school, and there was a competition, and it was 1 point away from you winning, what happened to you, Ryan? Please walk us through that.
One play away. from being the champion of one-on-ones between the two of us. By the way, Jason and I, both team captains, both on the offensive line in high school.
Peaked in high school.
And very true. Very true.
I'm just kidding.
But literally our last one-on-one of the season, right? It was, wasn't it?
Yep.
That was our last one-on-one of the season. Jason hits me with the old fake spin move. So that's my move, right? But the spin move was my move all year. Like,
oh, I knew that. In the back of my head, we took
at the beginning of the year, I took a pretty decent lead because when I would go on defense against him, I'd hit him with the upfield rip and then drop low on the spin move, and I got him several times. Mm-hmm. And so on the last one, I'm like, oh, he's going to try to get me on my own move. Boy, going to try to get me on my own move. Comes in. I was like, I called it because he did this fake spin. I hard pushed inside.
Sorry, you were playing checkers. I was playing chess.
Ain't that the truth? Hit me with that fake spin. He got the tie. We ended up even on the year. But anyway, okay. So Super Bowl preliminary prediction. Who do you think is going to win and why?
That's like Kobe hitting a fadeaway on MJ.
Very true.
I don't know. I'm just kidding. I think it's going to be the 49ers. I really do. Because other than Tom Brady, defense wins championships, right? Like, imagine, let's rewind it back to 28-3 when the Falcons are up 28-3 and against the Patriots and they start to run the ball and give the ball back right back to Tom Brady. Instead of that, they just play hard and let your defense save you. You know what I'm saying? Don't give the ball. Don't keep giving the ball back to the guy that's going to win the game. So let's forward back to now when it's Patrick Mahomes. You do not want to give the ball back to Patrick Mahomes. So, yeah, usually it is to run the ball. But in 2020, you have to be a lot more creative with how you do things. So Kyle Shanahan, who's the coach for the 49ers, is really creative with it. And it's play action, it's running, it's motion, it's everything. He uses so many tools to keep the ball in his offensive hands and let his defense do the work. And they have a darn good defense. That front seven.
Oh, yeah. Probably, that front seven is the best front seven in the NFL. They have a Hall of Fame cornerback. They have... By the way, thoughts on the Darrelle Revis, Richard Sherman things going on? What do you think?
Revis is a battle. Revis is a bum.
It's okay. You shut your mouth right now.
This is my thing.
Revis is the best corner of all time.
Revis is the best corner of all time. He locked down everybody. Everybody. I saw like an 8-game thing, and it was at max. It was Randy Moss, Brandon Marshall when he was hot. It was like, and they were only like 4-20. I was like, forget it. It's Revis. It's Revis Island. They called it that for a reason.
They called it Revis Island. That was the first type of thing, and it was because of how good of a traveling corner he is.
Yep.
Right. And he was locking everybody down. Now Sherman is different. He's smarter. He's smarter, and he jumps. He jumps routes instead
of... He's got that Stanford brain.
Right. Instead of sticking one-on-one, he uses zones. And I know he doesn't like when people say zones. He's a zone corner, but he knows what he's doing in areas. And he reads the quarterback and he jumps the throws.
Well, if you watched in the Super Bowl between the Broncos and the Seahawks, where it was just complete humiliation.
Right.
Every time
I watched that.
Sherman would check the defense into the best coverage for it. Yeah, I know you know this, and you're a Seahawks fan, but and Jacksonville.
No, he's a Jacks fan. He's not a Seahawks fan.
I know. We took a break. We close to taking another one.
Let me guess. You're now a San Francisco 49ers fan.
No, it's not like that. The Ravens, baby, all day.
Hey, I feel it. But no, Richard Sherman is a smart guy.
Yeah.
He is the best. What is it? Cover three corner, right? Is that what the they generally run?
Yeah.
This is the cover three.
Yeah.
Best, probably, he's a Hall of Fame corner. He's an amazing leader. He's always got this chip on his shoulder. Awesome dude.
Amazing shit talker.
I think that
the top tier. Top tier. Like,
I mean, and the thing is too, is it's like, you know, as there are different running backs, there's different quarterbacks, there's different wide receivers, there's different cornerbacks too. Mm-hmm. And you know, he's the best zone corner that there's ever been, most likely, probably. I can't think of anyone better. Yeah. And Darrell Revis is the best lock on island corner. I mean, Darrell Revis was so good, they'd be like, all right. He would come in on Wednesday and say, who am I guarding this week? And they'd say, this is your guarding. And then the rest of the defense would make their game plan. He's just like, this is who I'm guarding, and they're not touching the ball. Like, that's how good he was.
Yep.
Like, that's how I learned about different types of coverages. Because in my youth, it was like, oh, there's only zones. Okay, everybody's doing man. No. Sometimes it's half and half. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I never knew it was like that till you watch from Revis, and it's like everybody's doing zone coverage over here while he's just locking this man down, and it was easy for him.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So you got the Niners winning the Super Bowl. Playing devil's advocate, what do you think the Chiefs need to do to beat them?
Well, first of all, you have to protect your Mahomie. Nick Bosa is coming at you and less than 3 seconds. You don't even have 3 seconds. So if you can get Patrick Mahomes more than 3 seconds, I think you can win the game, because that speed on that team is ridiculous. And the defense, as good as it can be, if they can throw the ball to Tyreek Hill, he can outrun anyone.
Even his own teammates to the end zone.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's got plenty of weapons.
Ridiculous. Those videos are ridiculous. He cracked 20 yards behind them.
It's nuts. All right, Jason. Well, we're going to wrap it up here, man. Thanks a lot for coming on and sharing your insight on the draft. We hope to hear from you soon. And thanks for coming on, man.
Till next time.
See you next time. See ya. Thanks a lot, Jason, for coming on. That was a great interview.
It was great hearing from you, buddy.
Yeah, always good to hear from you. And always
good to have you again here sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. And always appreciate the support from our friends and anybody who's listening to the pod. We appreciate all of that. And
we really do appreciate you guys listening. We're just getting this thing started, and we're doing this as a fun hobby. We both have other full-time jobs that we do, but we love sports. We love talking about it, and we love that you're tuning in to spend your time and sharing your time, listening to us.
I mean, to our friends that know us, they know this is like a normal conversation that Ryan and I would have at the bar sitting on our couch. Yeah. We're just recording it now.
Yeah. So again, we're really glad you're listening.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Thanks for all the support. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next time on Don't Touch My Sports. Roll the outro.